DJ Tony Barnes, DJ Snaps, and Alan Jones.
Word of Mouth Wednesday. We're here on the Word of Mouth Wednesday show. My name is Daniel Libby, and we've got a big show lined up tonight because the federal budget was announced yesterday, and the Conservative government is planning the largest spending in Canadian history. It looks like the Liberal-NDP coalition agreement is off the table, and a new Conservative-Liberal coalition is taking shape. First up, we'll be speaking with the MP from Thunder Bay Rainy River, John Rafferty, of the New Democratic Party. And later in the show, labor-conscious Canadians nationwide are focused on the Parliament of Ontario, where the Liberal majority is trying to pass a back-to-work legislation, Bill 145, to end the now 84-day strike at York University. And we're hoping to hear from the member of Provincial Parliament from Hamilton Centre, Andre Horrath, to give us the NDP perspective on this matter. And plus, we got some news, music breaks, and event listings, so stay tuned. CKLN 88.1 FM, word of mouth. We'll be right back right after this. Word of Mouth Wednesday. We're back on the air, and the political battles are taking place on Parliament Hill in Ottawa as the economic crisis is currently looking like a multi-year recession. To give us a perspective from the New Democratic Party side of this matter, from the Government of Canada, it's the Member of Parliament for Thunder Bay Rainy River. I'd like to welcome Mr. John Rafferty.
Thank you very much, Daniel.
Thanks. And, I guess I just wanted to start off by asking you, what are your reflections on this $33 billion stimulus in the federal budget that was announced yesterday?
Well, you know what, the big problem with this, and, you know, if we count it over 2 years, sort of $68 billion, half of it is in corporate tax cuts. And you know what, these corporate tax cuts don't create jobs the way other things do, for example, investing in human infrastructure. And, you know, for every $60 that's being spent on corporate tax cuts, and remember, corporate tax cuts go to corporations that are already making loads of money. So we're talking about big oil and we're talking about banks. Mm-hmm. So for every $60 spent in tax cuts for corporations, $1 goes to those who are unemployed. That's the ratio that we're looking at in this budget.
Wow. Well, I guess just to give a bit of a history perspective of the past few months, I guess we had the big election. We followed it on this show. That was in October 2008. And then you got elected, John Rafferty, as one of the 37 members of the federal NDP caucus. And then in November, the finance minister dropped the economic update. And then this the Liberal NDP coalition was made in response to this. And then in December, the Prime Minister asked the Governor General to prorogue the Parliament. And now here we are months later. Given what's gone on in the past few months, did you see it coming to this?
Well, first of all, Daniel, imagine how boring it would be if I were elected and there were a majority Conservative government and we were sitting here for 4 years and all I could do was, you know, sort of stand up and shake my fist without any chance of changing anything about the way this government operates. So that would have been the alternative, and I'm certainly happier that it's turned out this way. And it's interesting, you know, most voters of a certain generation or certain generations, the older generations, a coalition, the idea, the concept of a coalition is absolutely foreign to them. They have grown up in a Canada where there are only two parties. Indeed, only the Liberals or Conservatives have ever formed a federal government. And so that's all they've known. And so the idea of a coalition government of the majority of opposition parties, which, by the way, and as you probably know, Daniel, is common in the rest of the world, is something very, very foreign. And so, pardon me. So it's been introduced, and I suppose as of today, with the events today, with with the Liberals deciding that they're going to side with Mr. Harper. By the way, for the 45th time, they're going to be propping up Mr. Harper in the last 2 years. So,
yeah.
It's sort of business as usual, back to the old way of doing politics. And quite frankly, we were hoping in the NDP party for a progressive move forward. To do some real things for people who are most vulnerable in our society, and now it's going to be an uphill battle, as opposed to us putting forward a budget that we really have our fingerprints on that would make real change.
Right, and I guess what we're sort of seeing here is that the Liberal NDP coalition is probably off the table at this point, but there could be a coalition shaping up almost between the Liberals and the Conservatives.
Well, I was just about to say that's the new coalition, Harper and Ignatieff. They've decided that they're going to work together, as they have for the last couple of years. So even though there's been a change in leaders, pardon me, it's the same as Mr. Dion. Mr. Ignatieff has decided that he's going to support Mr. Harper, it's sort of like he's charging the barricades and demanding reports. If you saw him in the House today, Mr. Ignatieff, all full of vim and vigor and how awful this budget is, and yet he's supporting it.
Right. He said that he's going to put Harper on probation, and that he wanted the Conservatives to approach with extreme caution, I think, and then he was suggesting amendments to the budget. I guess that's what you were referring to with the report.
Well, when he talked about putting the Conservatives on probation, it was interesting to be in the House this afternoon and actually see all the Conservatives shaking in their boots at that one. That was, I'm being facetious, of course, but nothing of the kind, of course, happened. But I'm sad. I'm disappointed that we didn't take this opportunity for the first time in Canadian politics in 140 some odd years to not do politics as usual, to put an agenda forward that really helped ordinary Canadians. And so what we're faced with now is we're back to Liberal politics as usual. While vulnerable people in this country, right across this country, will continue to fall through the cracks.
Right, and we're hearing all about this economic crisis every day. There's new announcements. One of them, of course, that everyone's talking about is the amount of people being unemployed. And I know that one of the big things that's been going on with this budget people have been talking about has to do with the employment insurance EI benefits. Did you have any comments on this aspect?
Well, what's in the budget, and the Conservatives and Liberals are pretending that what's in the budget regarding EI is a step forward. Well, in fact, the one measure that's in there to extend EI benefits by 5 weeks really is not a measure at all, because many people won't even get to that part of the 5 weeks. What we were asking for in EI, and what we put forward to Mr. Flaherty, in fact, was eliminating the 2 week waiting period. And if you are eligible for some separation pay or some sort of bonus at the end of your employment, should you be laid off or the company closes, what happens in EI right now is of course you have the 2 week waiting period, and then if you have any sort of payout, that comes off first. It keeps, before EI kicks in, and keeps families in perpetual poverty. I mean, that's essentially what it does. And so the two measures there were three measures we were really looking for, Daniel. The first was eliminating the two-week waiting period, because you still have to put food on the table. The second was that if there's severance pay of some kind, that doesn't come off EI. That's a payment for a different thing. That's a payment for years of service, and so that should go directly to helping your family. Particularly in Northern Ontario, where my riding is, Daniel, we were hoping that there'd be some EI benefit extension for older workers who are not really eligible to be retrained or interested in being retraining, but might be 6 months or a year away from retirement, and using EI to bridge that gap for those older workers, and we felt that those were important. So, none of those measures were part of this budget. You know, it's just simply looking out for those who have paid into an insurance plan, which is really what EI is. And you know what? It's insurer money. It's employee money. It's employer money. It's not government money. But, quite frankly, and I don't mind saying this on the air, Daniel, the money has, EI money, billions of dollars, has been stolen by the Liberal and Conservative governments.
Wow. We're here broadcasting on air. It's a CKLN 88.1 FM, and we're in downtown Toronto. And I guess we in Toronto, I guess, have a different perspective, or we don't totally know, I guess, what's going on in the rest of Ontario. And since you're John Rafferty, the MP of Thunder Bay, Rainy River, I was wondering, how has your riding been affected by this?
Well, you know, our main industry in Northern Ontario is forestry. Mm-hmm. And it's been very hard hit. We've lost tens of thousands of jobs in Northern Ontario. We've had small communities virtually closed down because the forest company or the mill or the sawmill, whatever it happens to be, has closed its doors. And there are a number of factors involved there. Some of them are provincial. You know, like the electricity rates, for example. And some of them are federal in terms of quotas with softwood lumber and so on. We've been very, very hard hit, and a lot of the people in my riding in northwestern Ontario have not appeared as a statistic in terms of unemployment because they've never applied. They just simply moved, and whether it was out west to the tar sands or back home. East to stay with relatives or whatever the case may be, and we've been very, very hard hit. And as a result, we have communities where 30, 35, 40% of the houses are vacant. I know that's hard to think of in southern Ontario or in downtown Toronto, where housing is at a premium. But it's a case of your mortgage is worth more than your house, so you leave the keys on the kitchen table and you close the door and off you go.
Right.
That's the real economy that is going to be hit this year in 2009, and I don't think the Conservatives nor the Liberals really understand the extent to what's going to happen.
Right, and that's why we're glad that there is the NDP in the Parliament as keeping these the governments on track. And you're the deputy critic for industry, I understand, but that you're also the deputy critic for heritage and culture. And
with particular emphasis on the CBC, yeah.
Oh, great, yeah. And I was wondering, and since you've previously worked in broadcasting, I was wondering if there's anything in the budget for the arts and media.
Well, you know what, there isn't. The Conservatives will tell you that that there is some funding in there, or there's more funding than there used to be. But generally speaking, arts and heritage and culture are going to be taking a huge hit in this budget. If you look at libraries and museums, Daniel, when times get tough, not just federal governments but provincial and municipal governments start to think, maybe we don't need that museum. Maybe we don't need that particular little art gallery that's struggling to stay alive. And what they don't realize is first of all, in an economic sense, the sort of income generation and that those particular institutions generate. But what they don't understand is that's also quality of life. People live in areas of this country partly because of the quality of life that it offers them. And for many people, art galleries and museums and an active cultural and heritage background is what they look for.
Well, we still got you on the line for a minute left. That I just wanted to ask you about what we heard the finance minister Flaherty mention yesterday is that he thinks that we might be out of the recession within 5 years. Do you have this hope?
Well, you know what? I'm not an economist, and I know that economists, pretend to be scientists. But I think if you listen to economists, you'll find that it's not much of a science. It's more guessing than anything else. But I think you'll find that the economists are saying that Mr. Flaherty is a bit of a wishful thinker, and that this is a serious problem that we have right now, and this government really has no plan to get us out of it. Deficit spending, particularly when you have permanent tax breaks, as I said at the top of the show, these are permanent corporate tax cuts. They're not, sort of 1 year or 2 year tax cuts intended to stimulate the economy. These are permanent. This means that there are billions and billions of dollars that this government will no longer have in the coffers on the long term. And, I don't see with this particular budget or this particular government them getting out of it.
Wow, and my last question here is, with all this going on in Parliament and all this stuff that's happened in the past few days, and I was just wondering, what are the next steps? What can we expect in the future from the NDP?
Well, we'll continue to fight for the most vulnerable in our society, as we always have. And the issues that matter most to Canadians, and we know that they matter most to Canadians, healthcare and employment and seniors, being able to afford their houses. I think sometimes, Daniel, what some members of Parliament and perhaps other people of other parties seem to forget when they don't knock on doors and they don't speak to people in their constituencies. When I come across, the 85-year-old gentleman in my riding who fought in the Second World War, had his house paid off 35 years ago, and I knock on his door and he says, "John, I don't know if I can pay my next electricity bill. I don't know if I can stay in my house." Daniel, there's something wrong in our society when we let that happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's very true. But I'd like to give you much respect and thank you a lot, Mr. John Rafferty, for joining us today.
Daniel, my pleasure.
All right, thanks a lot.
Okay.
All right, and that was John Rafferty from the NDP, and he's also the MP representing Thunder Bay, Rainy River, up in Ottawa in the Parliament. And for the Word of Mouth Wednesday, we're just going to throw it to a musical break here, and this one is by a local artist, local great artist, who is speaking or rapping about the man that I guess a lot of people are talking about, and that's the current president, Mr. Barack Obama. This is Ian Kamau, and it's called Majority Report.
Who still doubts that America is a place where all things are possible? Tonight is your answer.
Yeah. Another year passed, still moving forward through an unclear path. Hormones still raging, war still being waged, and it's true that the world is still yours, but it's changing. Black rappers still talking that crap, and backpack rappers still talking about rap. Meanwhile, still a war in Iraq, and we've ignored the theory of preemptive attack. At least the president's black now, but if they had their way, they may try to change that. How come some see but don't feel the same joy? Imagine you're a man who's always been treated as a boy. Well, I guess it's half to no struggle. Not even your belief, you're not a part of our trouble. Privilege is a bubble. Look into the sky, Stephen Harper-like, with a dull look in your eyes. Ask why you assume the authority. I'm most of the world, so why am I the minority? There's an answer in the first question. The second, how did Harper get past the election? Remember when we stood for something? Hipster sniffing coke now, is change still coming?
Been a long time.
I hope. But we're out here in the middle, it's clear it isn't simple. I fear it is a riddle. I'm single, still lonely, but not the one only. Trying to quell the rumors of a move to Nairobi. And those that know me see the change, and they notice I'm still into yo, but just have a different focus. And most poets speak in love of revolution. Habitually late, can't even keep their resolutions. Please, don't waste my time. I got a bullet called change, and I'm aiming at your mind. Now I got a godson, his father acting like a clown. I guess I'm the role model while his daddy ain't around. I'm still praying that the hour ain't 11. Heaven knows why folks still asking me about heaven. I tell them it's all love but no movement, and me doing music wasn't much of an improvement. No love lost,
cost, just the cost of my fear. Still extend a hand, we've had no plans for Pangea. New year, sunrise of my life, so it's early. Twilight of my youth, though I'm damn near 30. Economic crisis got lenders acting coy. Investors insecure as a teenage boy. Heart rattling, still rattling the truth. No matter when we get the funds, are we challenging the youth? The black president won't keep my people out of court. I'm no minority, so this is my majority report. Can't say we're better off than we were before. One man can't keep the world from being poor. Still kids from the ghetto fighting rich people's war. Can't say they're better off than they were before. In synopsis, this is my majority report. This is my majority report.
Seems like
it's 2009.
Yeah.
Seems like it's 2009.
Yeah.
This victory along the time of change.
2009.
Is only the chance for us to make them change.
World is this.
It's 2009.
To those who cling to power through corruption and deceit and the silencing of dissent, know that you are on the wrong side of history, but that we will extend a hand if you are willing to unclench your fist.
Word of Mouth Wednesday, we're back here on the show, and I just wanted to throw it to a something that was pre-produced here, a few clips edited from what's been going on in the Ontario Parliament, because, as you know, the York University strike is now 84 days it's been going on. York University has been shut down, and intense things have been going on. And in Ontario, they're discussing Bill 145, the York University Labor Disputes Resolution Act of 2009, that Minister Fonseca has put forward. And what's been going on is that the Liberals and the Conservatives and the NDP are talking in the Parliament of Ontario about something called a deadlock. And they're saying that that's what's going on. And well, I guess the Liberals and Conservatives are saying that there is a deadlock, and the NDP is trying to figure out what the deadlock actually is. And, well, here's a clip featuring members of all three different parties talking about the situation at York University involving a deadlock.
On January 24th, Premier McGuinty conceded that the sides are, quote, in a clear deadlock, and despite our best efforts to bring the sides together, that has not changed, end quote.
We have recalled the legislature on a Sunday afternoon as soon as we heard word of a deadlock, and we call on all members, particularly those in the New Democratic Party, to remove the obstacles so that we can bring 50,000 plus students back to the classroom.
This isn't deadlock, Speaker. This is a university that decided we'll lock out the students, we'll put them in the street, we'll go through the motions of making it look like we're interested in bargaining, and we'll just string it out, and then we'll go to the McGuinty government and ask them to end it.
Shame.
This doesn't sound like deadlock.
Everybody knows about the virtual deadlock.
I think the minister has an obligation to explain where the clear deadlock arrives.
Speaker, today I rise to speak to the legislation that would require an end to the deadlock labor dispute between York University and the Canadian Union of Public Employees, Local 3903.
Their efforts at establishing deadlock are flimsy at best.
We are here to deal with a clear deadlock between York University and CUPE that has come about in this 12-week strike despite extensive attempts at mediation.
If it is the ministry person who went in there for one day, the ministry person made it very clear that it was York University's refusal to bargain that was causing this, not a clear deadlock between the two sides.
Does that sound like deadlock? No, what it sounds like is a university that's saying we're not going to bargain.
Dictatorship.
Let me give you another example.
when he stood here and he talked and he tried to make the case about the clear and present deadlock that was taken, that was there, he never once made the case for where that exists.
We have respect for the collective bargaining process. We allowed the collective bargaining process to proceed until a deadlock took place.
The only thing this government could hang its hat on when it introduced this legislation is something they call deadlock.
There remains a clear deadlock.
Now, it's very clear what the minister had to say. He's not saying that this is an essential service. He's not saying it's a vital state administration, and he's not saying it's a national crisis. What he is hinging everything in this bill upon is the clear deadlock.
Deadlock! 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 Deadlock!
Member for Thornhill.
Deadlock, 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 deadlock. How many more times do I have to say it? Do you know how I know it's deadlocked? I say to the leader of the third party, because I've been there and you haven't. Let's vote on this bill.
My colleague for the Conservatives, and I appreciate his philosophical position, I just have to say to him, repeating the words deadlock, 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 deadlock does not make it so.
Now, while students should be in class moving forward with their education, you are presiding over yet another deadlock.
Deadlock. The university refused to bargain. The 3 weeks over Christmas, they just refused to bargain. That doesn't sound like deadlock.
Deadlock. Because without evidence of a clear deadlock, this is an arbitrary measure that breaches the Constitution. And I ask that question at the outset before I make any other statement. If someone has that clear deadlock, if you can show evidence of that which is sustainable in a court, and this may in fact be challenged in the court, please present it to me and to this legislature.
Deadlock. Have you heard word of the deadlock? Well, that's what they were talking a lot about on that clip. You heard some members of the Progressive Conservative Party, the Liberal Party, and the NDP Party of Ontario speaking in the Ontario Parliament about what's been going on. And, of course, the QP3903 strike continues. If you want updates from the union side, you can check 3903strike.ca. It's an ongoing situation, but things might be wrapping up there. Coming up shortly, but we're just not sure. Anyways, what we're going to do right now is just throw it to a musical break. And this one's coming out of Down Under, and it's by an artist known as Elf Transporter. And it's a song called I Awoke. Word of Mouth Wednesday. 88.1.
Stealing and shielding, no one yielding nothing to stopping the mass graves. Killing the next wave of predictable rampage. While they talking up in their campaign, arms dealers round the globe pop champagne. Train the stock market shares to gain, while people bearing the pain from Reagan to Hussein. W. Bush to Bin Laden, obvious niggas forgotten. The lessons, daily progressions, compliments of CIA. Read at full speed, the stampede away. So we can read the next day, who's the next prey? The victim, financially, fundamentally sitting on both sides. Capsize at sea. The trick is to thrive while the innocent die clean. The trick is to lie and get away scot-free. The trick is to thrive while the innocent refugees is incarcerated for the stupidest salary. Schooled in a rude world, rude for the maddest. Cruel and inhumane rule of the baddest. Reality where brutality is the status. Whoa, are you woke? Schooled in a rude world, rude for the maddest. Cruel and inhumane rule of the baddest. Reality where duality is the status. Whoa. Thank you.
tragedies. Anointed in the anatomy of dualities, blasphemy, cultivating impact, everlasting, no lack in the mastery. Catastrophe at the altar of maps, of which we ourselves author in fact. The misinterpreting of blur of brain rinse, convinced that the mirage is real. Hypnotic viral spirals of mass appeal. Eating a pornographic barrage and cinderary like Finch. Making us look all hard but have to squeak for hints of truth to awaken and convey ourselves. Off the carousel and beyond, convey your belt so we can relay our dreams. Stepping the lines of grind of obscene, unsustainable means. A lifeline to see only a dialogue to extend and catch over the whole environment. No more can we keep silent.
Word up, word of mouth Wednesday. We're back here on the show, and I just wanted to play another clip of this ongoing situation, because it's a big deal, because it involves labor, it involves education, it involves what's going on here in Ontario, in the city of Toronto. York University is in a huge labor dispute, and it's always interesting to get the perspective of some of the NDP members during something like this, because the NDP is sometimes considered a labor party, so they always have a siding, I guess, maybe even more in support of the workers than some of the other parties, I guess, sometimes. Well, one of the MPPs who seems to support workers a lot for the NDP is Peter Cormos, and here's a bit of a few words that he had to say about what this strike at York U is all about.
This not only may well be, but I am confident is, the single most important debate that's occurred in this chamber since this government's re-election in 2007. And indeed, the government knew, because Mr. McGuinty has had occasion to indicate that the New Democrats were not going to acquiesce and let this type of legislation with respect to the York University workers pass without due process in this chamber. The most important single debate, the most important single debate. Why? Because collective bargaining, free collective bargaining, is the hallmark of a democratic society. The right to withdraw one's labor is critical in a democratic society. And these workers, through their bargaining team, have done precisely that. It is shameful at the scarce number of days that York University management has spent at that bargaining table. Yeah. So the highest priced help in the province.
Yeah, no kidding.
Salary and benefits packages to the tune of darn near $500,000 a year. Globalization, how do you like it so far? Capitalism, been good to you too? Workers are under attack. Workers are under attack by globalization. Workers are under attack by privatization forces in the public sector. By a mania for partnerships, which really means corporate ownership, not just of the building and the logo, but almost inevitably of the content of the curriculum.
All right, Word of Mouth Wednesday. We're back here on the show, and it seems like the guest that we had slated for 7:30 might not be calling in. So I guess we we can open up the phone lines, and just in case anybody in the audience has anything to say, you can give us a call here at 416-595-1655 about anything to have to do with these campaigns. We talked about the York University strike, and of course, also in our first segment, we talked about the federal budget. So we've been talking about a lot of different issues. Just in case anyone has anything that they wanted, anything on their mind that they can get across on the Word of Mouth Wednesday, you can give us a call. I just wanted to play some another clip here on this whole this big situation that's going down at York University. This one has to do with a, well, you might be able to consider it a conspiracy theory. It's a conspiracy theory that is being suggested by the Progressive Conservative Party in the Ontario Parliament. And in this clip, you'll hear, I think it's Peter Sherman and Jim Wilson, two members of Parliament on the Conservative side, putting together a theory of what they think is going on at this York University. And it's a theory on mass strikes.
50,000 students were unfairly bearing the brunt of an irresponsible job action, and without having some special gift or being any more intelligent than anyone else here, I did what normal people do. I went to visit the students.
Good for you.
The day before I made my first statement in the legislature regarding the York University strike, I attended a rally organized by a group of students who banded together under the name York Not Hostage. And this was the thing that I suppose caught my fancy when I went out to that original rally, and I was handed a piece of paper by somebody that listed 18 universities in the province of Ontario that are attached in one way or another through labor agreements with CUPE. CUPE has obviously been orchestrating these agreements to expire at approximately the same time. Over half of the universities in the province are now affected, and if York goes ahead as the union would want, then we would go above half, U of T the same thing, and ultimately approximately 14 of the 18 universities would be affected. So the end game would appear to be to bring the province to its knees with over 300,000 students being affected midway through 2010.
10 Ontario universities will be negotiating new contracts with their faculty before the end of this year. If you mess those talks up like you did at York, Ontario will be faced with massive province-wide strikes, and again, only the students will suffer, and they too will be looking for compensation from this government.
As we speak, the CUPE local at U of T may be preparing for its own job action.
You should have acted before Christmas. You should have followed the advice of our colleague from Thornhill. And you know that what's really behind the strike at York is the fact that CUPE wants to ensure that all universities that are under their belt, that their contracts will all come up at the same time so they can put on one massive province-wide strike in the middle of next year.
I, with the backing of my colleagues, want to know how this government will protect education from being hijacked by strikes, because the York issue is not the first and not the last labor dispute on the horizon. I mentioned U of T. I mentioned other universities that will find themselves in bargaining territory in 2010, all at the same time, but I want to take this opportunity to highlight an even more imminent threat. We've been given the indication that come March, elementary teachers may be considering a job action of their own that would leave thousands of children without school. I need each and every parent in Ontario to pay attention to this.
And so we are asking you, as a matter of common sense, to at least stagger the contracts, put timelines on when strikes do happen, do something so we don't have a massive province-wide strike. Either that, resign, because you're completely friggin' incompetent!
Minister, Mr. Speaker, I appreciate the honorable member's dramatics. But as I say, Mr. Speaker, 75 days a strike went on at York University under his watch, and they failed to bring back the legislature. Mr. Speaker, we believe in the collective bargaining process. And one of the unfortunate byproducts is that strikes and lockouts occasionally happen.
Word of Mouth Wednesday, we're back here, and we're talking about the York University strike, and I think we have a caller on the line. Hello, caller.
Do you want to speak with me?
Yes.
Yeah, well, my name is Jack.
Hi.
I want to know, at the moment, let us say, before the strike and after the strike, what is the lowest wage of the lowest employee? What is his wage? And what is the highest employee's wage? Before the strike and after the strike.
Right. Yeah, that's some good questions, and I guess...
That is, my friend, the question.
Definitely. And
money, and money.
Right, and I guess, as far as I know, the strike is still ongoing, but it could be back to work soon. I guess, do you think this is... Oh, so they have made the announcement.
Yeah, it was over the air just now. That's why I'm phoning.
Okay, great. Yeah, now that we know that, then I guess... Hopefully, the for the students' sake, the year might not be.
Of course, listen. Some of these guys have lost their bloody livelihoods, man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jesus. Were you a student there or anywhere?
Ryerson, I was. Yeah, that's where we're broadcasting at Ryerson campus.
Ryerson. Okay, yes. So let us say if you lose 6 months tuition or 3 months, and they say, oh well, we'll give you a certificate anyway. That's bullshit. It's not the certificate you were working for.
Right.
See, it's truncated. But now look, find out what I asked you and put it on the air.
Mm-hmm.
Will you?
Yeah, we'll try. We'll do our best. And if anybody out there is listening.
Do it tonight. I'd like to know.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, I don't think those blokes are working for peanuts. And, you know, the main thing is this, old man out of work.
Right.
That we had bugger all to eat in the 1930s, virtually. There is no such thing as job security. If it's a successful business, okay. But here you have got economic times. You don't know what is tomorrow. You wake up and get a pink slip.
Mm-hmm.
How can you ask for job security? The guy that does his job properly will keep his job.
Right.
Am I right?
I guess that'd be in an ideal society. But with this economic crisis.
Society, this is you live day by day. You don't, you know, I have an old saying, it's an English saying, horses for courses. Do you know what that means?
No.
If you have, let us say, a horse race, you have got, let us say, a dry ground, but if you have a wet ground, only a certain type of horse can win there. The guy who wins, the horse that wins on the dry ground cannot win on the wet ground.
Right.
So horses for courses. You live day by day. You don't know what happens tomorrow. You know, it's you're still a young man, eh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Live through life and you'll see exactly what... Don't forget what I'm telling you tonight. Don't expect too much of life. You've got to make it yourself.
Right.
Don't expect trade unions to do it for you. You must have guts to do your own thing. Do your own decisions. But any case, don't let me pontificate to you. Please find out, as I say, before the strike, what the lowest paid was and the highest paid, and after the strike. Let us see how much they've gained, and let us see if they were earning enough at the beginning that they did not have to strike.
Right, definitely, and there is the one website that I saw, 3903strike.ca, which has, I guess, the perspective of the QP side of it. And they did have one counter on there. If you're looking for some numbers, the one ongoing counter that I see there on the front page is called York Strike Jackpot. And it says that since the York administration canceled classes November 6th, and it's counting how much money York is saving on the member salaries and benefits, having not paid them since November 6th.
Are they not being paid?
No, apparently not. Apparently, $14.3 million and counting.
Listen, that's not the university's fault.
Mm-hmm.
No, now you're taking sides.
No, well.
Be absolutely impartial.
Mm.
Who told these guys to strike? Let now, if the guys are not being paid, their union, the trade union, QP, should be paying them. That's what strikers do, you know. In England, when they had the coal mine strikes, the time Arthur Scargill and Margaret Thatcher, before your time,
right,
when they went on strike, the miners paid, and they got other trade unions to join with them. You know, the motor car guys used to chip in. Everybody paid.
Mm.
But you don't expect York University to pay them while they're not teaching?
No.
I mean, this is ridiculous.
No, but I guess what could... The situation here is that the money that York has saved could pay for the raise if there is a raise that they get.
No. One thing has nothing to do with another.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know how much they were earning. And I will guarantee you, if you got a job for that pay that they were earning before, you will say, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to me.
Oh,
find out, please.
I know.
But please broadcast it on the air.
Oh, you're on the air right now, yeah. And hopefully people are listening. Hopefully people are hearing. And I'm sure this will generate a discussion.
Are you broadcasting this?
Oh, yeah.
But I'm on the air.
Yes. Yes, sir. You've been speaking some very true words, I think, from your heart. So thanks a lot for speaking with us today.
Fine. Anyway, try and find out. Maybe you'll get it on a computer. Maybe if you phone York University, they'll give it to you immediately.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I think so.
Yeah, we'll try. We'll see what we can come up with here.
Thanks, my mate.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Cheers.
All right. Thanks for listening. And that was a caller. And, of course, if anyone, brings up any thoughts for anyone, they can give us a call, 416-595-1655. We're here on the air. We're talking about the York University strike or any other subjects people want to bring up. It is the economic crisis, and I know a lot of people have been talking about. And what we're going to do now is actually just play a quick music track here in case anybody calls in. Until then, we'll just play a track by an artist that was on the show last week. We interviewed him, 95.6, a local artist. This is a track called Trippin', 88.1 FM, CKLN, Word of Mouth Wednesday.
I'm up late last night, the kitchen tap dripping. Remember way back when I only half listened. Now I'm back in this reality kicking. For a minute I thought and I must have been tripping. It must have been the world I remember before I was ever. That was just never, never ever ever, never never land. United we stand with one in each hand. There came a time when I was 9 cents. That was conscience, it was really nonsense. Now I'm unconscious, they don't understand, so they think I lost it. But I'm lost it. That was not skill, it was just problems. Everybody talks quiet, that's the sound of the riot. Hurry, get the tires, we about to start a fire. In the middle of the streets, that's a smoke screen. Now the helicopters hovering above us can't see. We just gained an advantage, now how can that be? One in each hand, or is it just me? Stop for a second, wait, I must be tripping. It was just the tap dripping. I only half listen. Wait before when? I only half listen. Wait before when? 9 to 5, 9 to 5, 6. 9 to 5, 9 to 5, 6. 9 to 5, 9 to 5, 6.
For those who claim to power through corruption and deceit and the silencing of dissent, know that you are on the wrong side of history, but that we will extend a hand if you are willing to unclench your fist. What the cynics fail to understand is that the ground has shifted beneath them.
Word of Mouth Wednesday. We're back here on the Word of Mouth Wednesday show, and I think we have a caller on the line. Hello, caller.
Hello.
Oh, thank you very much. And do you have any comments on what you've been hearing tonight?
And I've been following this thing a bit, not as detailed as a lot of the other people, but from what I'm hearing to the other media, whatever it may be, that while there's a bunch of different issues, obviously everybody talks about the money part more than everything else, and the issue isn't they want to make more, from what I hear, it's more about having a consistency in what they're getting paid. And correct me if I'm wrong, but what I've heard so far is that year to year, they need to reapply for the courses, and 1 year they could be making, $12,000-$15,000 a year, and the next year they're making less or more, and all of these people have lives to live for and budget for. I think while the money issue is important, the context of it is I think more of a consistency in pay so they can live their lives and not really a pay increase.
For sure, for sure. And I guess...
I think it's a valid point, right? Mm-hmm. you know, anybody with a job, we really want to know what we're going to make, and so we can budget ourselves. You know, but I think the frustrating part is that while they're doing all that stuff, ultimately the students are left to dry.
Right, they're sort of stuck in the middle of this whole thing.
Yeah, and I'm a Ryerson alumni too, and I know the struggle in getting tuitions and stuff to pay for books and whatnot, and you don't want to get, you know, your education gypped.
For sure, for sure. And I guess you must think that it is somewhat positive if York is going back to school.
Yeah, they're going back, but, you know, they're going back due to legislation, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is a risky precedent itself.
Yeah.
I think the right to strike is something that as a democracy we have. So when it gets legislated, yes, they are going back to school and going back to work, but now there's a new precedent set on what we can do, which I think is very dangerous.
For sure, for sure. And
that's it, man. Good show. The other gentleman has some great points just on life in general, so it's great to get some old school truth.
For sure, for sure. Yeah, and thank you for calling in, too.
No problem.
All right, Bye. Peace. All right, that was some words on the Word of Mouth Wednesday. Of course, anyone else has anything to say, we still got a few minutes left, 416-1655 to give us a call. As we wrap things up here on the Word of Mouth Wednesday, it's definitely been interesting times. That was the big announcement, is that it looks like York might be going back to class. Bill 145, York University Labor Disputes Resolution Act, might have passed earlier today, and they could be back in school by Monday. So that's a big thing for 50,000. Up to 50,000 students are affected by this. Of course, there was the big budget announcement earlier. We spoke with John Rafferty, the MP for Thunder Bay Rainy River, earlier in the show. He called in, and then we had a few callers. We played a few clips from the Ontario Parliament, which is interesting because that's where the big debate of the York University whole situation has been going on in the Ontario Parliament. And also, I just wanted to announce, I think I heard the announcement that has also been made today was that not only has Barack Obama's stimulus package passed in the American House.
These things are true.
But also, apparently Barack Obama has announced that he will be making his trip to Canada in February. I'm not sure the exact date, but I think it's about sometime around the middle of February. So that'll be coming up, I guess, one of Obama's first, or it'll be his first, I think, international visit after he tries to get things sorted out in America with the economy and the whole world's watching Obama. So it'll be good to see what happens when he arrives in Ottawa, I guess, to meet with the government officials of Canada. That'll be something going on. And, of course, I just wanted to play a few event listings. Hold on a second. We'll just get those ready right about here.
We must pick ourselves up, dust ourselves off, and begin again the work of remaking America.
Word of Mouth Wednesday. My name's Daniel Libby, and this is our show for the January the 28th, 2009. We're almost done here, but while we still got a few minutes left, I just wanted to make sure I read out a few events that are coming up in the activist community for everyone who's interested. Tomorrow, Thursday, January the 29th, 2009, at 6 p.m., it's an emergency rally. Act now to stop the genocide of the Tamils. A Toronto rally and vigil organized by the Toronto Coalition to Stop the War and endorsed by Canadian Heart, humanitarian appeal for the relief of Tamils. More info at nowar.ca. That is going on tomorrow, 6 p.m. And also Thursday, tomorrow, going on January the 29th at 7 p.m. It's the Unbottle It Educational Speaking Tour featuring Maude Barlow and Sid Ryan. Tap into public drinking water tomorrow at Steel Workers Hall. 7 p.m. That's 25 Cecil Street, Steelworkers Hall. For the info on this event and the tour, check out Canadians.org. And then on Friday, January the 30th, there's the Studies in Political Economy presents an afternoon forum, Understanding the Financial Crisis, Critical Approaches, and Alternative Policies. Panel one is on the financial crisis, causes, dimensions, and consequences. That's from 1 to 3 p.m. Then panel two is the global financial crisis, developing left responses. And that's from 3:30 p.m. to 5:30 p.m. That's all taking place this Friday afternoon at University of Toronto, room 2125, Sydney Smith Hall, 100 St. George Street. And also on Tuesday, February the 3rd, it's The Real News presents the first cafe session at the historic Gladstone Hotel, The Obama Generation, Beyond Inauguration, What Does It Mean for Canada and the World? Local and international guests discussing political issues of the day at the Gladstone Hotel, Melody Bar, 1214 Queen Street West. And that's free admission, donations welcome. More info at therealnews.com. And that's about it for us here on the Word of Mouth Wednesday. My name's Daniel Libby, and I want to thank all our listeners, all our guests, everyone who called in, and much respect. We'll be hopefully back next week.
Let us seek together a better world in our time. Thank you, and God bless you. God bless America. Thank you.